What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dusty Dimes podcast. I am your host, TJ, with my co-host, Tucker. What's up, Tuck?
What is going on, TJ?
Oh, nothing. Did you get your kitty meow meow?
Yes, I got all the cats out of the alley and into my stomach now, so.
Dude. So, I was talking to Brian, my buddy, and my old assistant coach. He's going to join us. And I told him,
perfect.
I was like, oh, I said 8:30. And then I said, oh, Tucker needs 10 minutes. And he just texted me. He goes, what the fuck's up with this millennial? So he's probably going to give you shit when he jumps on here.
Yeah, no, we can blame the other generation.
Oh, Hunter?
Yeah, how'd you guess?
Yeah. What'd you guys end up getting?
I got sweet and sour chicken tonight because I couldn't make up my mind.
Yeah.
Man, I think everybody else got sweet and sour chicken too. So it was like, yeah.
Nice, nice. But we have got a pretty good epi here today. Questions and, you know, topics that, you know, some people want to talk about, some people don't want to talk about, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you sent me the list earlier in the week, and I guess the only question I have is, where do you want to start?
I guess we can. I mean, you want to start at the top here? Hockey scouts aren't stupid.
Absolutely.
All right. I mean, it's a topic. You know, hockey scouts aren't stupid. It all stems from, you know, tryouts coming up now, camps coming up. You know, showcases, tournaments, and everything. And the bottom line here is, you know, we talked about it before, and, you know, to touch on it even more now is, you know, scouts look for certain things. Scouts look for attitude, you know, scouts look for, you know, your personality on and off the rink. If you fuck up during a play, do you throw your glove? Do you throw your stick? You know, do you slam your kick the boards and shit like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like, how do you carry yourself after you fuck up? How do you carry yourself in a winning situation as well?
Oh, 100%.
They look, you know, at that coin.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell Lanny, I tell the kids that he plays with, you know, and this is a good topic, you know what I mean? Because, like, this goes in the locker room, outside the locker room, you know what I mean? It's and I tell him, like, dude, someone's always watching, bottom line. You know, and to give light on it too is, you know, like I said to these kids too, like they're young, you know, like Lanny's team, 12, 13 years old, you know, you can only imagine what they're saying, you know? Oh, yeah. And I tell them, dude, I'm like, when you guys go to playoffs, when you guys go to a tournament, when you guys go to a showcase, I'm like, don't, you know, dick around, you know, because there might be somebody important there. There might be, like, somebody in the long run that you see, like, you know, a college coach that's walking around watching the older kids, and they recognize, oh, man, I remember that kid at the rink. You know, he was F-bombing this and being a dick to people. Like, they're not going to forget, man. Like, it's – they see everything. They see everything. They hear everything. You know, there's social media. There's fucking Live Barn. You know what I mean? So
– well, that's just it. It's like – it needs to be explained to these kids. It doesn't matter if you're getting off a bus with your team or getting out of the vehicle with your mom and dad. The second you step out of that vehicle and are on property at the rink, you need to carry yourself as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. It goes from how you're taking care of yourself pregame, what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're holding yourself, everything. It's everything plays into what you're going to do in the game, after the game, everything.
No, 100%.
And you need to come with that mindset ready to rock and roll right off the bat.
Absolutely. So, I mean, hockey scouts, it's, you know, Brian, for example, you know what I mean? You're heading to West Virginia tomorrow with Sebi, correct?
Yes. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We're heading out Prospect Skate. They actually have four separate teams. Thank God he's on team number one. So they'll do scrimmage like team one versus team two. And, you know, team three versus team four. So second year in a row. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they have D1, D2, D3, ACHA, you know. But those D1 guys, and the D2 coaches, they aren't even on the bench, man. They're sitting up way high in the stands taking notes. They all got clipboards. And, you know, they meet with the kids after and give them one-on-ones and exactly what you guys were just talking about, you know, pinpointing all those little things. Because you see them walking around even, you know, pre-clinic and scrimmage, I guess, you know, checking out, see what the guys are doing. They're out in the front lobby meeting people as they're coming in. So, you know, you guys know more than I do, but it's pretty recognizable, you know, that they're taking mental notes at the very least, exactly. You know, in the beginning when they're seeing you. So, mm-hmm.
You know, and to touch on this, Tucker, and I don't, you may know this, you might not, is, you know, when I was coaching you guys and I was recruiting and looking around and, you know, for other players and Keyshawn, for example.
Yep.
You know, I had Keyshawn, he approached me about playing, you know, I reached out to his coach. It was, I forget who he was with before. I could see it, but I can't remember, but I reached out to his coach, as I should. And his coach told me, don't take him. He's not ready.
Is that when he was at Trinity Pauling?
That's it. Thank you.
I know my boy.
Yeah. So, you know, the coach, you know, don't take him. And it wasn't that, you know, like we needed a guy. It's like, I looked up his stats. I looked up, you know, I did social media, looked everything up, nothing bad on him. And I told him, I said, listen, and he'll tell you, I said, you come this weekend. It was a weekend. We had two games. I said, you come and play. I'm going to give you like a tryout basis. You come and play these two games this weekend, and you tell me what you want to do. You know what I mean? So it was like, it's a hearsay thing. Like you said, you know, like scouts and everything. So if I'm scouting a kid and ask him if he wants to play, like you're going to look on his background. You're going to talk to his coach. Like, and you know what I mean? I'm the type of person, second chances, whatever, you need a place to play, I'm going to work with you because that's what a coach does. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit there and like, say, hey, you know, you're going to make the team and be a top six forward. No, you're going to make the team and you're going to work for it.
And if you don't work for it, your dad can show up with a gun and try to get you a spot anyways.
Very true.
Oh, God. Very true. I can only imagine that story. You know, TJ, to your point, though.
Oh, it happened. It happened, Brian.
Oh, I'm sure we could get into that, but I was just going to add real. I was just going to add real quick. We see this going on in
you broke up, Bri.
Oh, I was going to say, did I lose everybody?
No, you're good. Okay. He broke up. Well, when he gets back, we'll let him finish his topic.
How about now?
Oh, yeah, you're good now. There you go. There you go. You're good. Okay. You're good.
All right. No, I was just going to say real quick, we're seeing it in the highest level sports. Look at the NFL right now with free agency. Oh, guys are getting traded because of their prima donna attitudes and the bullshit that they do in the locker rooms and on the field and stuff like that. So, you know, it extends to the highest level. So it's kind of a thing you probably want to learn as young as possible, you know, and you saying you talk to Lanny and the younger guys, I've heard you do it.
Yeah.
You gotta start now.
You know, and the thing is like, I tell them to watch what they say and, you know, halfway through the season and how they were joking around the locker room and stuff. I go, guys, and they know social media. And I said, Carter Hart, you know what I mean? Like Carter Hart, for example. And that's what I said. Every time they started acting up, like Carter Hart, Carter Hart, Carter Hart. And they stopped. Yep. You know what I mean? Because like, all you need is one kid to say something stupid. Like we know.
Yeah. Oh, we've heard it. Yeah. We've heard it.
You know what I mean? So that's where I stand with that. Next thing is, you know, it's small details make you stand out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you want to start on Tuck? Brian, you want to start?
No, I was just going to say, I reached out to you to, you know, help me give some advice to Seb here on these things. Not only for WVU, but for, you know, the Hershey Cubs next year for tryouts, you know, you don't have to be the guy going end to end all day long, especially as a D guy, you know, and trying to weave through three or four guys that's not going to work next level. So,
and we spoke about that, you know, and the big thing is, you know, with tryouts coming up now and evaluations, you know, for the younger kids is, you know, the small details, man. It's, you know, being first on the rink. You know what I mean? Being last off the rink. That's details that coaches look at. You know what I mean? It's not that you're, you know, being a brown noser or sucking up to the coach. It's the fact that, you know, you want to be there. You're not made to be there because your parents are making you. You want to be there. So if you're first on the rink and, you know, getting reps in and shots before all the other kids get on, you're a leader. That's a leader. You know what I mean? You're leading by example. So when you're doing that, you know, at practice, and then, you know, say you go to a tryout camp, you know what I mean? It's, you come, and I'm not saying to be a dick, but, you know, you show more energy than other people are showing. You're standing out.
Absolutely.
You know, it's.
Yeah, it's, don't walk in 5 minutes before practice.
Yeah, don't walk
you
in.
You know, with your gear.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, standing out or sitting in the parking lot, you know, hanging out with your buddies or, you know, I but Brian, you and I know, like, you
know, I know.
It's 2 years in a row that happened. You know what I mean?
Two years in a row.
So it's like shit like that. You know what I mean? And that comes back to hockey scouts aren't stupid. They're going to know that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, so yeah.
If you're dicking around and you're not standing out, like, they're going to know. Like, if it's just, I don't know, man, that's a tough one, really. 'Cause like, the small details is, you don't want to look as a suck up, and you're not being a suck up. You know what I mean? You're doing what's best for yourself and to make a team. You know, like the small details that I had with, you know, Tucker at Lehigh Valley and at Philadelphia, you know what I mean? Like, the shit they did before, you know, like, thank God for Joe Panisi, man. You know what I mean? Joe Panisi was a skills coach. You know what I mean? So like, you know, the morning we had skates, we had practice in the morning. You know what I mean? The boys would go out there. Joe would take the boys out for a skills. I'd be up in the top office watching, you know what I mean? And they put the work in. And actually,
touch on that one little detail.
Okay.
TJ says the boys in the morning, there was four that showed up from our team for the session of skills practice.
Yeah.
Wasn't it mandatory?
Listen, we'll get into that after a couple of questions here. Just remember that.
Okay.
Remember that,
Brian. All right. Yeah. I got you. We're going to bookmark that right
yes,
now.
Yes, we're
all
bookmark
right.
that.
I got it.
Bookmark Lehigh Valley.
Lehigh Valley. Yeah.
But it was, and I actually just sent videos over to Tucker, Mike, Keyshawn, and Tristan. You know what I mean? Of videos of that they did. You know what I mean? And that's the little things is, you know what I mean? Like, the shit they were doing, it was, you know, gathering a puck, snapshot, going to the corner, grab another puck, throw at the point, and get a tip. Like, it's the little things like that that happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like that that notices the coaches, you know, the coach's eyes. You know what I mean?
And it's
– Well, yeah. Go ahead, Tucker. Go ahead.
My bad. It's the little things like that that form a stronger bond with your teammates, too, and can form a stronger team all together.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, team chemistry. I mean yeah. – And who wants to be there?
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to bookmark that. Remember that. All right. We'll bookmark that. And then.
All right. You guys got a lot of stories here.
Oh, God. Trust me. They're good. They're good.
Dads with Guns, Lehigh Valley. All right. Yeah, I'm in.
Big chapter.
Another one is another topic here is hockey parents keeping secrets.
Keep your in the stands shit in the stands. Keep your on ice shit on the ice. Keep it all separate. I mean, keep your drama out the door. If not, stay in the car and be a good hockey parent and take your kid to the ice and stay away.
All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
I mean,
that sums it up.
Pretty narrow. If you're not playing the game, what the fuck do you have to do with it anyways?
Trust me. I hear you.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we obviously see those sorts of things, you know, at the youth travel level. Do you see it at the junior level and the next level? Does it carry on? I mean, does it ever end? I mean, it goes with all sports. I hear it from other parents whose kid, you know, baseball, lacrosse, soccer, all that crap. So
I think, you know, when Tucker and I were with Philadelphia Revolution, I think, you know, there was a couple dads that wanted their kids to play more because – You know, when we were with the Revolution and Craig, you know, Craig and I were together as, believe it or not, like, you know, he was a head coach. I was an associate head coach, you know, with him. And he ran a weird system. You know what I mean? It was like a European system, which, you know, if you have the right personnel, what we did, you know what I mean? And Tucker will tell you, like, we had the right personnel at Philadelphia Revolution. And we ran a weird, weird, weird European system. And there were some kids that didn't fucking get it. You know what I mean? And sat. And there was times where, like, I sat kids that didn't get it. You know what I mean? And you had the parents like, hey, you know, what can my kid do to get more ice time? And this is at junior level. You know what I mean? And
still asking.
Yeah, junior level, man. It's like, yeah, we're not in Canada, but it's still junior. It's junior hockey.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, it still happens. You know what I mean? Like, it's – but Tucker will tell you, you know what I mean? If you put in the work at that junior level, you're not going to hear a fucking word from the parents or the coaches.
Well, no, right. That's what I wanted to touch on that too. And it's like, you know, there's got to be a certain point where – you hit a certain level of hockey where you're continuing on going, praying to God that you can keep playing and turn it into something, mm-hmm. go to college with it, turn it into a career, whatever it might be.
Right.
But if you're not getting ice time because you don't understand and you can't adapt to a new system of hockey or something that's been run all season that you still don't get, why don't you get it? And when are you going to figure it out?
Yeah.
Like,
right. Right.
If you just can't, if you can't learn systems, hockey just might not be for you.
I was just going to say, yeah, it might not be for you. Or, yes, it was a fun thing to do and all that. And maybe just that next level just isn't for you.
Yeah.
You
know? If anything outside of high school hockey or anything above that, it's a business.
It is. It's 100%. Like, and Tucker will tell you, to this day, I'll tell you, I love Tucker. Like, he's family. You know what I mean? But I yelled at him. You know what I mean? Like, I gave him shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same way I give Sebby shit. You know what I mean? I did.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like, because you care. It's not because you're there just to be a dick. It's because you're there because you care.
And again,
friend, full way along. We wouldn't have the relationship that we have now.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. That's a perfect point right there. It's when you're on the ice, you're in the game, you're in that atmosphere, or, you know, you're at practice, it's separate from the off ice and, you know, hanging out, having some beers or, you know, going to lunch and grabbing freaking cheesesteaks, you know, after a tournament game or something. So that's a great point, Tucker.
But I go back to saying, you know, the hockey parents and keeping secrets and, you know, with tryouts coming up and evaluations and through the season, you know, you get your certain clicks, you know what I mean? And the people see it that you have certain clicks through the team. You know what I mean? This is at any level. You know what I mean? Like this goes from fucking mites all the way up to junior. You know what I mean? You see it. So, I think that, you know, with kids that are, I don't want to fucking say something. I don't want to say something wrong here.
Take it easy.
I think that if you have kids, like, you know, a certain kids on the team that are better than other kids, you know what I mean? That are looking at the next level. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if you're 14, you and you're succeeding faster and quicker than the other kids, then I think that parents are keeping it secret and saying, "Hey, we're gonna go to this team. We're gonna go to that team." It's like there is secrets going on. Trust me, behind closed doors. You know what I mean? You see it, Brian.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard thing, you know, and especially as you get older, you know, noticing it in the older level, 16U, 18U, especially at 18s. I mean, TJ, you know, there's a discrepancy in levels of skill.
Oh, my God.
IQ, personality, who really wants to be there to develop more as a player. Who wants to, you know, take it to the next level, like Tucker said. And that's a hard thing for the kids that are looking at that next level to, you know, have to conform just to be the a part of the team, because it's such a wide mix. From first line to fourth line.
Yeah,
it's just so drastic sometimes, and I don't know if maybe it's our area. I mean, do you go to New England? Is it different? You go out, where Tucker is in Minnesota. Is it different out there? Which it seems to be to me from what I read and see and research. You know, things are different, and the mindset is different.
Oh, it is.
So,
and the going, like you're saying, and what I want to finish on the topic here is, and then is like, you know, if you have two kids that want to go to the next level, and you're keeping a secret because it's a catch-22. You don't want to piss anybody off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't want to piss anybody off, but you also want your kid to succeed. You know what I mean? So if you're saying, hey, I want to go here, you know what I mean? Like, there's other kids that are possibly going to follow because, you know, the kid is good, but he wants to make the jump to be better.
Right.
You know what I mean? So parents are absolutely going to do that. You know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
Excuse me. So if parents are keeping it hush-hush about, you know, where they want to take their kid or where they're thinking they're taking their kid, like, it's also of a thing where, you know what I mean, like, say you're with a team for 7 years, you know what I mean, like, you're with a team for 7 years and this kid is going above and beyond and progressing faster than the other kids, like, the parents are going to keep it a secret because you don't know, like, oh, am I going to get shit talked?
Right.
Are we going to get shit talked as soon as we leave? You know what I mean? These people think we're better than us. Like
these five guys left. Now we're not going to have enough guys for a team next year. Their fault. They'll come crawling back if they don't make, you know, where they're trying to go to for that next level I mean, it is a catch-22 because ultimately and really, if I'm going to be honest here, I don't give a fuck. I'm looking out for the best interests of my kid and what he wants to do and where he wants to go to the next level. Yes. Do I love all the kids and they're fantastic and the experience is phenomenal. And every kid over the last 2 years, you know, TJ, you know me, they've all taught me something, whether it's hockey related or not, they've all taught me something. And I've learned something from every single one of them that I've been around. But you know, you reach that point in age, and Tucker, you would know even more, like, okay, now I got to make a choice. How serious do I want to be? And are my parents going to support me, help me, you know, potentially get to that next place? So that's the way I look at it. And I wish every kid the best of luck, no matter what they do. But exactly. Yeah, I got one kid to worry about. So,
dude, I have three.
You
man.
Know,
I, and I was yeah, I was yeah. out in the backyard today. I had a lacrosse stick in one hand, a soccer ball coming, and fucking baby dolls in the other hand. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, but it's a God's honest truth, man. And there's kids that are, like, want to do this for a living. They want to go to college. They want to play junior. They want it. You know what I mean? So you can't really penalize the kid, and you can't penalize the parent. You can't penalize the parents. And, you know, I said this before, you know what I mean? I said this to Brian Boehm. I said, you got to do what's best for your kid. I said this to you. I said this to Raul. Yep. I'm like, you have to do what's best for your kid.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Cause in the end, your kid's going to be there. These other people, yeah, they're going to be in the hockey community, but, like, I don't want to tell you. If they get pissed off at you for trying to better your kid, then that's fucked up.
That's on them.
Bottom line. The parents, the coaches, like, it's fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that. You could be so good that you don't have to worry about pressure, right? That was a topic that I saw, and I think that, you know what I mean, there's kids out there that go into the game and they think that they have to do everything, and they worry about the pressure, right? So, you know, and I told this to, you know, Sebi, I said this to Walt 2 years ago, last year, you know what I mean, I said this to Micaiah. You know what I mean? I've said this to my own kid. I've said this to Tucker. I've said this to Pat McAteer, you know, Tristan Dzinski, Keyshawn Scott, all the kids I coach, DJ Lubner, all these fucking name, dude, 13 years of fucking kids that I coach. You know what I mean? Like, I tell the kids, I'm like, if you want to be the best on the rink and you want to be good, I'm like, then be fucking good and don't worry about anything else around you.
Exactly. And that
kind
of, you know what I mean?
A lot of the other shit that we've touched on tonight. It's like, leave all the bullshit at the door, come in ready to work, do what you need to do, come early, stay late, work on the finer details, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah. So for example, like, and I know he's probably going to give me shit. You know what I mean? is Lincoln, you know what I mean? Lincoln's a goalie. You know, I've coached him all year at goal, help him out. You know what I mean? Getting him hopefully where he's at, you know,
he's awesome.
He's a great kid. You know what I mean? Awesome. So he loves the game. You know what I mean? And he plays a position where the pressure is on him. You know what I mean? He's a goalie. So, you know, we're in playoffs, DVHL playoffs, and, you know, he's frustrated, man. Like, it's just, he comes to the bench crying. He was upset. And I look at him. I said, dude, I go, relax, bro. Relax. You know what I mean? Like, I said, do the things that you're meant to do. And I said, let the puck hit you. You know what I mean? Just let it hit you. Don't try things out of your ordinary that you're not used to doing and let it hit you. And I said, the game's going to come to you. You don't go to the game. Let the game come to you. You know what I mean? And I tell him all the time, I'm like, you know, you're doing the best that you can. You know what I mean? And you're one person in the net. There's, you know, five other people in front of you. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's a team game, man. Yeah, team game.
So there's five other people in front of you. Aren't if there's easy shots getting through, then you know what I mean. It's really not your fault. You know what I mean? Unless it's a clear shot from the blue line that you can see. You know what I mean? But it's like I tell them all the time, like, do what you can. Don't go out of your comfort zone and don't go crazy. You know what I mean? So. And that goes for him. That goes for any other player, like, you know, Lanny, you know, other kids like Luke Trumfio, you know, Kyle Poplawski that was on his team. And Kyle Poplawski is a kid on Lanny's team, and he goes out to practice, toe drag, like a cleanest toe drag I've seen in a while. Makes all these moves, gets a shot, does a sick move, and scores. And he looks at me, and we look at him. We're like, dude, why can't you do that in the game? He's like, I'm nervous. His exact words.
Wow.
I go, what are you nervous about? He goes, I don't want to mess up. I go, dude. I'm like, who? I was like, you. And I told him, I said, you watch videotapes of Connor McDavid. How many times he messes up during a game?
They all mess up.
Yeah. I'm like, these guys are in the NHL and they fuck up. I'm like, it's going to happen. You know what I mean? I said, Kyle, they mess up all the time, dude. You know what I mean? So.
Didn't Michael Jordan say your failures are what leads to your success or something exactly. to that effect? Yeah. I mean, you have to fail to succeed.
Exactly. So
if you don't try, you're never going to know. Yeah. So
exactly. Pressure's a son of a bitch for these kids. You know what I mean? Like I'll tell you, like early on with Lanny, like he thought he had to do everything. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm like, do what you need to do. I'm like, you go out and you have effort and you know, get shots on goal. You make good passes, make breakout passes, and you be that player. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. So, like, towards the end of the season, man, he was just like, no pressure, just wanted to play, scoring goals, you know, setting up passes. Like, you know, like, he had a point in the game. Like, we were playing Snyder. We were down. You know what I mean? And he scored with fucking, like, I think like 3 seconds left in the game. Got the puck at the blue line, walked in and nipped. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kids with pressure, man. Like, if you get pressure like that, you're like, oh shit, you're gripping your stick too hard. It was very nonchalant, man. Just gets a puck and shoots. And that's how you got to be it. That's how you got to be at any level.
Well, that's from, you know, the pro coaching tips and things that I follow on social mm-hmm. media and all that. That's exactly the mindset.
Yeah.
You want to go in expecting, you know, to do your job and yep. play well.
Exactly.
If you say I'm not going to score goals or I can't do this drill because I can't skate backwards that well. Well, yeah, you're going to fuck it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told a handful of guys this all season long. Cause they were like, oh God, a backwards skating drill. Listen, when you say that before you even fucking start, you're going to fuck it up, man.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Don't say that. Just say, all right, I'm going to give it my best effort And if I fuck it up, excuse me, sorry, just getting over a cold here. Then you try harder the next time, you know, and you'll get better the more you do it. You just, that mindset is key.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Tucker.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how clinics are by you, but I feel the proper clinics for kids. I really think that parents need to do research before they sign a kid up for a clinic.
And I know you and I have talked about this a couple times in the past, TJ. And it's,
yep.
If you're doing some clinics where there's minimum less than 10 kids to one coach, I would say,
mm-hmm.
is a reasonable clinic.
Yep.
If you're anything where you've got 20, 30 skaters on the ice, one, two coaches out there, and they're all in line skating around.
Yep.
Congratulations, you paid for 15 minutes.
Would you call that a money grab by chance?
Oh, my God. 100%. 100% money grab.
I know where this is going.
I tell you, like, dude, I literally, like, I watched a clinic online. And I tell you, the stuff they were doing at this clinic was mind-boggling.
Was it an early AM Saturday clinic?
It was a mind-boggling clinic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the things that they were doing. You know what I mean? Like, again, I'm not perfect. I'm not. You know what I mean?
Well, the best thing I could ask of you right now, TJ, is just paint me a picture.
All right.
Oh boy. This is going to be fun.
All right. So
if you don't feel comfortable, I have no problem expressing it.
I can say.
Okay. Okay.
So the clinic that I seen, there was like toe dragging, right? In between your legs with your head down. going across the blue line, like head down the whole thing, you know. Then there was, you know, basically like head down, looking back at the puck behind you and dragging the puck between your legs up to your feet and kicking it up.
So TJ, I really hate to be the guy to do this to you, but I'm actually familiar with this clinic. Steve Esau School Deaf and Blind.
Yeah, dude. I like the shit I seen there, and I'm like, I just, dude, I looked at Adrian and I said, what the fuck am I watching? You know what I mean? Because like I like the look on YouTube. I like to check it out, you know, the videos on Instagram, like with how they're doing clinics and stuff like that. Other people, you know, see what they're doing. And I just don't get it, man. I'm fucking mind boggled with the whole thing. It's like you're setting these kids up to play against kids like you, Tucker, that literally would prey on that shit.
Oh, they're gonna blow them up.
Bread and butter was not scoring goals and getting assists. I was there to put a highlight reel and send you to the fucking hospital.
yeah.
Like, I'll say this is, you know what I mean? Like, going back to the proper clinics, like, people like myself and Brian, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't want to speak for Raul, but like for Raul and other kids, like Brian Baim, like, they do their research. Like, you do your research on coaches that know what the fuck they're talking about, and they got credibility. They have coaching credibility. They got.
You're dealing with it now, correct? With Lanny getting into the checking age.
Yes.
That's a huge, huge step forward.
Yeah. And, so, like, I got it. Like, he's going up. I told you, he's going up to Wilkes-Barre this weekend for a tournament/camp. And they got a check-in clinic up there, and they're going to have junior kids talking to them and showing them how to do it. You know what I mean? And proper coaches, junior coaches up there teaching these kids how to do it. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's it's really too, you know, like you really look around, you know what I mean? Like in checking clinics, paying for checking clinics is, I really think is a waste of money.
It should never happen.
Yeah.
If you want to pay for it,
bullshit.
Yeah.
Personal trainer, and you need to work on core and leg strength and fucking learn how to take a hit more than anything.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. You're 100% right.
So, and that's you know, I think personally, I think that you should learn this stuff at your own practices during, you know, you should get your home rank. Your home rank should be able to teach you.
Home rank. Yeah.
Should be able to teach you how to throw a check and receive a check without paying for it. You know what I mean? Like, I really think this is like a beneficial thing for these fucking kids to learn, because if you have kids that are coming up that have their fucking head down all the time, they're going to get fucking blown up. They're going to good night, Jim Kite. That's all I say.
Yeah. And that's the next step in the game.
Yep.
You know, as far as the age is good, it's a necessity.
Yeah.
And you're going to charge people to quote unquote learn how to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And if you're just randomly doing it here and there and charging for it, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it.
No,
those things should be free for the kids that have no choice if they're going to play that next year
at
the checking age. Like, I mean, come on.
I agree. And this is the point of, you know, these kids' careers where they're going to either keep playing or they're going to go play badminton.
Yeah, right.
it's the bottom line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It really is. It's a God's honest truth. So, man. I know. I know, man. It's
the truth, bro.
It's the truth, man.
Reality of it. Yeah,
parents, do your research, please, on proper clinics. You know, it's going to be beneficial towards your kid. It really will.
Don't pay $750 because some guy on Instagram has, you know, 1.2 million followers.
Yeah.
I really look and see.
Yeah.
Douchebag with skates and a hockey stick and a decent background knowledge of some fucking social media. You can put on a clinic.
All you have to do, it's all about marketing. That's what they care about. Yeah, you're exactly right, Tucker. You don't need to do that.
No.
You don't need to do that.
For you right now, it's not going to be a good one, but I'll put one on for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do 3 days. $1,000. Two ice sessions.
This one. You guys are fucked up.
Hey, man. That's the world we live in.
I know. The caught up hockey parents at practice and games.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin with this one. I really don't.
I might keep quiet. Tucker, what did you see when you were
Tucker,
on the ice?
Tucker, yeah, tell me.
Caught up hockey parents at games. Like, I guess what are you referring to?
I guess, you know, the caught up hockey parents that are caught up in the hockey drama, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, Timmy did this, and you know, he went to somebody's house, and you know, he was talking about how bad Johnny was. You know what I mean? Like, it's
from like my experience with youth hockey and playing youth hockey, doing all the shit. Any bad blood I had with a teammate or anybody else, organization I was playing through, was because of the parents bad mouthing another kid, another parent, something like that, and it caused bad blood between the kids, and the kid was fucked on the team after that.
Fucking preach, brother. Fucking preach.
Like,
holy shit.
You are not playing the game. You are not contributing to the game. Shut the fuck up. Stay the fuck out of it.
Right. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, your kid will never be a double A player.
Yeah.
He'll never get past single A. Coming from a parent who does nothing.
The thing, and I'll say this, and I might offend people. I might not.
Fuck it.
You know what I mean? But
fuck it. But send it.
I don't understand, you know, parents that get caught up in this bullshit that never lay skates up.
Yeah.
They've never lace skates up or played a game, and they're so fucking invested in this, thinking that their kid is the next Connor Bedard. Oh, you know what I mean?
Well, not even lace him up. Any sport.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it.
You've never played anything, yeah. And you're so invested in how your kid does and what's he doing in and out of the rink and what clinics is he wasting his money on? You know what I mean? Like, that goes back to the clinics too. Like, you're so invested. Like, you want your kid constantly doing things that other kids aren't doing. And you're trying to, like, you know, oh, my kid did this for 5 days. What'd your kid do? You know what I mean? Like, it's no, my kid's got a fucking life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's and I say this at this young age, I think kids 2 to 3 times a week should be on the ice, not 4 to 6.
All year round.
Yeah.
You got to give it a break. The season's long, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell
even
you,
if you're just resting a little bit, summer program or something, that's cool. But holy shit, immediately right after.
I think, dude, and I'm telling you, like, it's they're young, but Lanny's team, like, I really personally myself, I think they were tired at the end of the season. I really do. I think they were mentally drained. Like Lanny even said to me, you know, he was exhausted. You know what I mean? That's a lot of hockey for these kids. And I know they love the game, but they were tired, man. They really were. So going back to what – and we got off topic there. But the caught-up hockey parents is – I think that, you know, when you're caught up in the bullshit with other parents, you know what I mean, like trying to be in a clique with somebody else so you don't offend the people that you're associated with. You know what I mean? It's for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you're together for 7 years with hockey parents, like, you guys should be in it together no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't be going home and jumping in the car right away and start talking shit about other kids on the team.
And
you know what I mean? And go ahead.
To put it in a non-dickhead asshole-ish way from earlier. It's like, if you want to be over-invested in something, don't be over-invested in tearing another kid down. Be invested
in trying to
make your kid progress and be the best that they can be. So you don't have to tear kids down, and you can just prove that he can do what he needs to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
100%.
If a kid truly is a terrible hockey player, it's going to show on the ice, and all you need to do is do what you do and be better.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a team sport. You're strong as your weakest link. You should want everybody to do better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
100%. 100%.
Relying on a handful of a lineup of 20, it does not prove to be successful long term. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't.
Yeah. I agree. But, you know, I think that, and going back to what I was saying, I think that, you know what I mean? If you guys are together and you work together as a team and not, you know, click here and click there and, you know, people that don't want to associate with the team and people, you know, are don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, you guys all should come together as a team, a unit. Like, hockey's a family, man. You know what I mean? It's not that you want to sit there and badmouth one set of parents and then fucking go hang out with them and act like nothing fucking happened 2 days later.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that. It's I don't fucking roll that way. You know what I mean?
Fake,
like
fake.
Yeah. I'm not fake. I'm fucking real, man. I'll tell you, like, if I got a problem, I'll say it to you. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a problem with me, say it to me. Like that. That's how it should be. You know what I mean? Like, there should be a fucking loyalty and allegiance with your parents and your families. Absolutely. On a team. Not the bullshit, like talking here and there, like, oh my god, what's going on? What's going on with that thing? Well, what are they doing? Where are they playing next year?
Yeah.
What is he doing? You know what I mean? Like, no, if you got a question, reach out to me. Reach out to reach out to somebody else's family. You know what I mean? Like, it's just for example.
You know, the funny thing is, to me, the kids know more than us parents do.
Oh, 100%.
They know way more than us parents do. And you know what? They don't share with us for that very reason.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? Me and player A, player B want to go try out for this new team. And we're keeping it to us. And yeah, we're not sharing it with you guys because it's going to start a shitstorm. And it's going to be exactly what you just said. Oh, you're going where? Oh, why are you doing that? Oh, why are you leaving here? Why are you going there?
Yeah.
You know, all that bullshit.
And they almost make you feel guilty. Like, no, it's not. I don't want to. Yep. So. Oh, man. How much time
do you have, Ryan? I'm in, man.
No, I said. All right. Awesome.
Yeah,
next one is coaches with ego issues and won't listen.
Who would that? I don't know who that is.
That's a topic.
Yeah, I know. A little sarcasm there.
Are we talking from a coach-to-coach standpoint, or are we talking from, like, a parent-to-coach and spectator-to-coach standpoint?
No, let's go both.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough where you guys probably have more experience in that. I am lucky and blessed enough that Seb has not had a coach that way in his life.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak much to that, although I see it at other age levels and other teams. I'm just lucky that, you know, he has learned more with the coaches he's had in his life, including you, TJ, Raul, Andy, Scott, than I could ever have hoped for. So, you know, I'm going to defer to you guys, you know, and your experience in that arena.
And I know both of you guys can attest to this. And I said this to Tucker when they coached him, and when you were around with when I was with the kids, and I told them, I'm like, if I don't see something and you guys see something I don't see, tell me.
Yeah.
It's the bottom line here, you know, like, and as a coach and to this day, you know what I mean? I've been coaching 13 years now, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm still learning, you know what I mean? Do I watch NHL games and pick shit off of that? Absolutely.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's what you do as a coach. You learn, you know what I mean? And you take your systems here that you learn and you like throw a tweak in it. So other teams aren't like that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm the type of coach that if you got something to say, say it to me and then we'll work it together. You know what I mean? There's a reason why and that you have assistant coaches. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
They're not just there to puck push. They're not just there to open up doors. They're not just there. So, you know, you can have a coaching staff. That's not the reason for an assistant coach. That's not a reason at all. The reason for assistant coaches is to get input that there's shit that you don't see. You know
extra
what I mean?
Set of eyes. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. There's an extra set of eyes. There's two extra set of eyes. If you really have two assistant coach, so you're going to see more. And if you try to say something to a coach and he just brushes you off because that's what his mentality is, that's wrong. It's 100% wrong.
Yeah.
Well, like for example, let's put you and Brian on the bench together right now, TJ. Real game situation. I go out there. I do a play.
Mm-hmm.
You could critique me on what I did.
Yep.
Brian could give me a whole nother set of things that he saw out there. And regardless, there are things that either coach saw, but you need to do. You can work on them. You can improve on them. It's exactly that. It's an extra set of eyes. It's an extra set of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, TJ, you know my experience in hockey, per se. Yeah. Is limited. However, I am a D1 college athlete, and it doesn't matter the sport. So for me, in the last 2 years, what I kind of gravitated to was watching the other team and saying, hey, this is what these guys are fucking doing. Guess what? If they're doing this, from what I've learned from Nick, you, TJ, Raul, this is what you guys need to do because they actually were teaching you this stuff during practice on the ice.
Yep.
So if I can recognize something the other team's doing, because a lot of guys, even on the bench, especially the ones with the lower hockey IQs, they're not looking at what the other team's doing. So if I can say, hey, these guys are going back door all day long, you know, you got to fucking pick up your guy and block that out. So that's where I found my niche, because I saw a gap where some coaches don't really look at what the other team is doing so much. And I think that might be one of your questions as far as systems and adapting.
Oh my God,
to the
I can't wait for
team.
That one. I can't wait for that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. So, you know, I picked up on that real quick, and I'm like, guys, and I would say it to Raul and Nick all season this year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, listen, this fucking team is sliding a guy in. You know, he starts out behind the net, and all of a sudden he creeps in, and our D guys are looking.
Fuck. Where'd he go?
I don't know. He was going good for a while there.
Brian, you're going good, brother. Stay in the spot.
Mother. There I'm back. I'm back.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
My phone just keeps going to lock screen. That's why. So, no, I'm saying, you know, just recognizing, hey, if a guy is behind the net, all of a sudden he sneaks in behind your D guy who's looking in the corner where the play's happening. You know, it's hard. You can't do it all. And TJ, you know, that's why I stepped in with you last year.
Yep.
It's very difficult to be one guy on the bench with 18 dudes.
Yep.
It's just impossible. So having that extra set is just valuable, even with a limited knowledge. You know, I feel like I could pick up pretty quick and some things.
Yeah.
Watching NHL games, looking at film and video sessions, you learn it. So passing it on and having that extra set is key. And you see it in the NHL. A lot of times during timeouts or breaks, you see the assistant coach drawing up plays.
Exactly.
You see that guy saying, you guys need to do this. I want you here. Not always the head coach.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a team. It's a system. It's everybody working together. So,
well, and we'll finish up with this question here, or this topic, and we'll go to the next. But, you know, when we were up at Penn State, you know what I mean? And we had the 12U. That first game of the weekend, Brian.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. I remember.
We looked. You know what I mean? And we looked at the kids. You and I looked at each other and like, oh, do you want to go for this or what do you want to do? And the kids said, let's go for it. They all wanted to go for it. The big thing was marbles. You know what I mean? Let's have some marbles. And that's a thing. Like, I looked at you. Yeah. I looked at them. And I, you know, I was the head coach there. And I trust in you. I trust in the kids. And I wanted to know what their thing was. Like me. If I had, you know, an ego problem, you know what I mean? And that's the topic here. I don't have an ego problem as a coach, and I wouldn't say anything to you. I would just be like, all right, guess what, Lincoln? You're getting pulled at the 5-minute mark.
Right. This is what we're doing. I don't care what y'all think. Yeah.
It's what it is, man. And like, and I'll tell you
that
right
never
now,
happened. That never happened.
No. Yeah. And you and I will always remember that game until the day we die.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And those kids will remember it till the day they're done playing hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we actually played Teagan and Travis this past season, and believe it or not, they scored a goal against us, and they went by the bench doing the marbles thing. Like, that's what's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're never going to forget it.
Never going to forget it. So.
At 12 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for KSG, man.
I'm
psyched. It's going to be awesome.
Next one is, Tucker, I'm going to let you take this one after I say it, because it pretty much is like you and I.
Drum roll.
Why your words matter in coaching?
Coaching can make or break a player. A shitty coach, a player will remember a super shitty coach for the rest of their life. A player will also remember one, like, an impactful coach, somebody who made a difference in their career, made a difference in their life, because coaching isn't just on the ice or in the sports, whatever particularly, but it's off ice too. There's a lot of shit in between, like, especially at the level that I met TJ and coach at, like, no family around, no nothing. There was coaching staff and the team. There was a lot that needed to happen on the ice, off the ice, and an important coach could take care of both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no. Had shitty coaches out there, too, and remember them as well.
Can I ask you guys both a question, especially for you, Tucker? Was there ever a moment, and maybe you can, you know, describe it, was there ever a moment, because I know there was for my son, both with TJ and with Raul this year, was there ever a moment in game where you got your ass chewed? And of course, you were probably pissed off that you got your ass chewed. But when you actually went back and reflected on that moment, that you said, you know what, man, I freaking, he was right. And, you know, that aha moment where your coach played that role of, holy shit, yeah, he was right, and that is going to make me a better player in the long run.
I can't remember the specific moment. It was either Wilkes-Barre or the 87s. It was a home game, though. I don't remember the exact situation, but TJ had fucking ripped into me about something, and I hit it back pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we were both bullshitting and ha-ha laughing, texting each other at the end of the night. It's just, you know, you got to take a lot of that with a grain of salt. You're a hockey player in a high-tense situation, like you're battling out on the ice, and you got a coach who's trying to critique you and help you do better. You just got to brush some of that shit off sometimes, look at it, take it with a grain of salt, like I said, fix it, work on it, get better.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, like I said, maybe underwater is more your style.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. Perfect answer.
I like it. Should coaches have different systems and be able to adapt to teams? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes.
What?
Dude,
that's a question.
I can't preach this enough. In like, if you're in mid game and you keep running the same thing over and over again and over and again and over again, and that goes back to Brian. What you said is, if good teams and good coaches pick up what you're doing, they're gonna fucking isolate it, and you're gonna get trapped, and you're not gonna be able to do anything.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a saying exactly like that. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is called fucking insanity.
Insanity. Yes. Repeating yourself, expecting the same result. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Holy shit. Oh, learn and do better.
I just, you know what I mean? In like, I'm that coach, and Brian will tell you, like, I see the shit during the game, and you know what I mean? You got to be able to adapt, like, to what teams are doing and isolate what they're doing against you and counteract against them to make them think and make them make the next move. It's basically like you're playing chess. You're playing chess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yep.
It really is. And that goes back to the KSG game, the first game where we pulled the goalie and we came back and fucking won 7-6 with three minutes to go in the game. We were down 3 goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, we threw a fucking knuckleball at that guy and we adapted to the game, and
he didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what to do.
He was like, whoa, shit. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you look like, and Tucker, it was your fucking team, the Wild. You see what the Wild did the other night?
Fucking Christ. Pulled the goalie. And
love it. Love
that. That was
shit.
Unreal.
Love
that
it.
That was unreal, man. Yeah.
Love it. You know what I mean? And that's a coach adapting to his surroundings and system. Like, you got to be able to adapt. Like, if, you know, it's just if you keep doing the same again, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, they're going to pick it up, and it's going to be a fucking nightmare for you guys.
Yep.
It really is.
And you're going to lose it every time.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where we died with Rev. We had the one system that worked.
Yes.
Well. The 87s picked up on it.
Yeah. Yep.
We just come that 3-game series. They shut us down and we didn't know how the fuck to answer back.
That's what it was. You know what I mean? It's you go into playoffs and they run the same system. You run the same system. They're going to pick it up and you're done.
TJ, we see it in our league, the DVHL, all the time. You play the same team 2 or 3 times. Probably by the second game, definitely by the third, if you're not willing to adapt to what you've seen, they're definitely going to do it. And, you know, come the end of the season in playoffs, who the hell knows what's going to happen? They're probably going to figure you out. So you got to change it up and go according to what you're seeing. And that can change on a dime. So,
I agree.
Especially in hockey. It's so fast paced. You have to do it.
And it's like you said, dude, like the 3 times you see them, it's they're going to pick it up. Teams are going to pick stuff up. You know what I mean? It sucks. You know what I mean? You're seeing teams 2 to 3 times during a season.
Any good coach is going to watch those games.
Exactly. And they're going to watch
games where they don't play you and see what you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. 100%.
From another standpoint, you got to watch that too and see which players are fucking working your guys every single time.
Yes.
Them down.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into that, from a coaching aspect to changing systems to a player stepping up and taking some responsibility and figuring out, how am I going to do this better?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, do less stations at practice and work on systematic play and special teams?
Oh, yeah. Mean in a game, you're not going to stand in the corner and wait for your turn to go do a 180 around a cone?
You know, this question is the one that I really looked at. And and at youth hockey, with the introduction of the ADM and the station practice, like you said, though, at a young age, tykes, mites, squirts, probably great and fantastic. But as you get older, I mean, TJ, how many times did we see? Well, I saw a lot sharing the ice with 14s, and then 18 double A's.
Yep.
Guys are standing around doing nothing.
Drives me nuts.
Oh, my God. It drives me absolutely crazy.
Drives me bonkers.
And it drives players crazy.
Yeah.
Especially those next level players. They're like, what am I doing? We're standing around for 20 minutes out of an hour practice.
Yeah.
Waiting. I just don't get it at the upper levels.
Starting
at 14s.
I just, you know, they say that during the USA Hockey classes and stuff like
that. Yes, exactly.
I just, you know, you get people that are so invested in following by the book. And it's mind-boggling. Like, you know, like, you're given a team. You're given you, not every coach is the same. They're not. You know what I mean? There's different. There's different style coaches. There's different style systems. There's different size of play. You know what I mean? You got ego coaches. You have non-ego coaches. You know what I mean? Like, it's what it is. It's just, you know, everybody's got a different mindset. And you get certain people. And, like, dude, there was people in my class this past, my USA Hockey class, that were like, literally, man, they were by the book.
Like, same thing for me, man.
Yeah, you talk about it in your groups, man. They're talking, and I go, no, man. Like, and I said, I'm like, no, that's not what you do. Like,
change it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're like, oh no, we go on the USA Hockey site
and
literally pull off the drawn up practices, and that's all they run. That's it.
That's it, man.
No variation whatsoever.
Yeah. You listen, there's drills that I had, like, you see me, Brian, last year. You know what I mean? Like, when I run, I never bring a paper out. Everything's in my head from what I've done 13 years. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, you put a twist on it. You see something different on YouTube, All right, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to put my own twist on it.
Right.
That's what you do as a coach. Not going off of USA Hockey or Canada websites and saying, this is what I'm going to do point by point by point by point. You know what I mean? Like,
again, you got kids of different skill levels too.
Exactly.
So, like, even the basic drills that they have with those ADM models and stuff, some kids don't get it. Mm-hmm. So you have to change it up to kind of work for the team as a whole, not just, you know, 4 or 5 players.
Yeah.
It's got to change at certain levels, I think. In my opinion.
But you'll have, you know, 2 to 3 kids that are fucking above everybody else, and then it starts declining.
Right.
You know what I mean, and it's like, as soon as you have that decline, and you're, you know, and it's what they call it, it's a fucking drill buster. You know what I mean?
It's a drill buster. Yeah.
So those fucking drill busters are fucking things up, and you know, you got a high caliber player that's like going through the fucking, going through the fucking drills, and then you have a kid that looks like, looks like the fucking Zeppelin fucking blimp.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. So why not? I mean, that's where, again, you've got to let go of your ego as a coach and say, okay, we got to make it work for everybody because we can't focus on 3 or 4 guys. We got to make sure everybody's, you know, kind of getting better and making sure they can do things they're comfortable with. Yeah. It's a tough spot.
Yeah. I just, man. we got a couple more. We got
I'm waiting for one in particular. I hope you get to it.
Am I close to it?
I don't know. The coaches and swearing is what I'm waiting for.
Did I miss that one?
You did, I think. I think you passed that one. Yeah. Now,
where's it at? Where's it at?
It's on there.
Right after coaches with ego issues, and right before why you.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. I thought we were going to address why you're
fucking right. Fucking right.
Tucker's got my back, man.
All right.
I knew where you were going, Brad.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to end on that one, or you want to do it right now?
Let's do it right now. I don't care. I'm ready.
Should coaches be swearing around players?
I think if it's coming out of a place of passion, like in a locker room speech or a post, like
beating the shit out of a lot of
fucking
trash can.
Yeah, right. Throwing shit.
It's like, you know what? You're pissed off. Like I said, it's the same as a player getting pissed off after a bad play, anything like that. You're in a high-tense situation. Shit happens. You swear, so fucking be it. It is what it is. But if you're swearing at a kid in particular, like, hey, you fucking moron, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Safe sport. Yeah.
Difference.
Yes. But listen. Look at the day and age we're living in now. If you're in denial that kids don't hear worse than they're hearing from, Tucker just said, a high intensity, very rapid situation where things change at the drop of a hat, and you can't handle that.
Yeah.
Well, I hate the old saying of, oh, if you swear, that means you're unintelligent. Bullshit. Listen, exactly. It's ridiculous, and that means you just don't know who you are, as far as I'm concerned. And that's part of it. We all want to win. We all want to do well. And sometimes, you know, you're in a 3-3 game with a minute and a half left, and there's all kinds of shit going on. I don't even think about swearing, and the shit the kids say in the locker room where we're not even around.
Dude,
is way beyond anything we ever project on them.
Yeah, like
if you think your kids, sit down with them one day and honestly tell them, you know what? Put your music playlist on and just play the first minute of every song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it starts with the pregame hype. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that whole adage is. Again, if you don't believe in that, maybe high-level sports is not for you.
Nope. I think I don't want to put my foot in my mouth here.
I know where you're going. I know. I get you.
I think that I would say 16 – 16 is cutting it close, but I think, you know, 18 and junior, you're going to have coaches that express their feelings towards the game, the ref, you know what I mean? Like, looking and be like, oh, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. You know what I mean? And you got to be able to talk to these kids because, you know, they're young adults. You know what I mean? These 18 U kids are young adults. So if you can't talk to them like a human being and tell them personally and criticize them what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong before you have mommy and daddy come in and start fucking yelling at them, yelling at you, like, come on, dude. Like, and I said this and I use it all the time. And you're getting these kids ready for the real world. You got to be able to criticize these kids and say, listen, man, like, you're just not doing the job here, man. It's you're down a shift. You're down two shifts. You know what I mean?
Well,
and then, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that's what it boils down for me is reality. Like, can we please be real with where we're living? Like, Sebi took a major penalty against Central York this year in a pivotal game for the high school. You know, where he took a 2 and a 10 because the ref called him for a penalty and he skated by, not even saying it to anybody, and just said, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And he ended up getting a 2 and a 10. And, you know, I'm like, and I thought he told the ref to fuck off.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He said, I just said, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Because it was a ticky tack kind of call initially. But some refs, of course, they hear that F-bomb, and we know USA Hockey, there's zero tolerance with the F-bomb, even though Sebi's been told by refs, get to the fucking box.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a dichotomy where you're like, come on, let's just be real here where we are. Yeah. You know, you're dealing with kids that are 18 and 17 that, you know, it's part of the atmosphere in every sport, not just hockey. So yeah, it is a fine line. I get it. And we're taught in safe sport classes and modules, you can't say those things, but that's unrealistic to me. It just doesn't happen that way in the real world. We all know it.
Yeah.
Whether it's in your job or whatever you're doing.
It's the bottom line. It's like mommy and daddy aren't going to be able to save you in your real life job.
Right, exactly. When you're 25,
your mom and
they're
dad
not sending an email.
Yeah, your mom and dad aren't going to send an email and save you at college hockey or lacrosse or soccer or basketball. You know, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely, and I think we've touched base with this in previous podcasts.
Yeah, it's like, dude. Yeah, but I mean,
let them grow up and learn.
Embarrassed.
What was that?
If it happens, you should be embarrassed. If you're fighting your battles, you should be embarrassed. Like, that's
agreed. That's agreed.
All I got to say about that, honestly.
Yeah.
Fucking embarrassing.
We have creating intensity during practice and games. I think that one goes. That one almost goes with, you know, hockey scouts aren't stupid and small details to make you stand out. That it's just, I think if, you know, you're creating intensity and people are going to feed off of that shit in a good way. You know what I mean? It's if you're creating intensity and you go out and, you know, you lay out a guy first 5 minutes of the game, you're creating, you're creating intensity. You really are for your teammates, you know, and I tell kids all the time, I'm like, the first 5 minutes dictates the game.
Yeah.
Dictate the game. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's a good thing during practice. You know what I mean? Because if you're in practice and you're creating intensity and you're not just going through the fucking motions and stations, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to create something. You create something during a game, you know, create something during practice. If you're creating intensity, practice, wheeling, shooting hard, trying other things, getting people involved. Like, it's contagious.
Yep.
So, and you'll
notice it from the kids that want to be there and really don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. I agree. Tryouts coming up. I will say, like, again, kids bring a lot of energy, you know, have a better mindset than anyone there. And I would say do things that other players don't do. You know what I mean? And that's just, it's the main thing with tryouts coming up. You know what I mean? Like, you're in tryouts, like, do something that the other kid's not going to do sitting across from you. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's again, don't go out of your comfort zone. Don't try fucking things that you're normally not going to do that make yourself fail at these tryouts. Don't try that. But I mean, try little things. Don't fucking try going out and catching a fucking killer whale. You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just.
Well, yeah, that advice you told me, for Seb. Coming up at that next level is like, it's very simple, very basic,
that's yet it.
that's what they're looking for. You know, they're not looking for D guys to fucking go end to end and score goals. Mm-hmm. You know, the, like you said, that breakout pass, that moving the puck, getting it out of the zone,
yep.
you know, moving it in, sending it to the net. That's what they want. Very simple for a D
that's
guy.
That's it. That's
it's, you know, I, so it, dude, that is more valuable than you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fantastic advice.
Yeah, what the fuck do I know?
No, no. I know, man. I know.
Yeah. It really is good. I mean, like, it's really tough. It's really tough because, I mean, there's things that, you know, Tucker would like to say, I would like to say, but I mean, I try to keep peace here and try to give, you know, my knowledge back and your knowledge back and Tucker's knowledge back of playing for me and playing juniors and stuff like that. But let's get back to the bookmarks before we let go here.
Oh boy. Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
All right. Tucker.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes,
so,
sir.
All right,
I cannot
wait. So Brian, so we're in, you know, we have a game against AppleCore, New York AppleCore at home.
First of all, that name sucks.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Anything New York fuckers.
AppleCore.
Yeah. So we're playing against AppleCore at home. Our bus is waiting outside, you know.
It was an away game. It was an away game. Fucking late as shit.
No. This is where we're getting.
What story are we on?
We're going to Hunter Stewart. Bang bang.
Yeah. Bang, bang. Play game.
No. Nope. Listen to me. I know
okay.
we.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So we're playing AppleCore. Kids get, you know, I get my bag together. I'm on the bus waiting. You know, kids get their bags packed, showered up, whatever. They jump on the bus, right? Mind you, I had a kid that, you know, wasn't very – what's the word I'm looking for, Tucker? Very team-oriented. And he was kicked out of the game and suspended him. I told him, like, you're not playing. You're suspended. I'm suspending you directly for something stupid you did. Come to find out, we're all on the bus. We get on the bus. We take off, and we're heading down to North Carolina. Driving down to North Carolina, I go back to take a piss and go back and play Xbox with the boys in the back. Right? We're playing
like
NHL.
Every coach does.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'm a player's coach, man. Come on now.
Yeah, you know I know.
So I go back and we're playing Xbox and I look and I'm like, what the fuck? And this kid snuck on the bus, Brian. Right? Sneaks on the bus to go to North Carolina. I look and mind you, we're in like what fucking Maryland at this time?
And way too far away to turn around.
Yeah. Right. So we get down there. Right. We get down there and look at the kid. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And this isn't even the kid's story is about. This is propped in the story.
He wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. He wasn't supposed to be there.
Right.
So like we get there and I'm like, dude, you like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm playing. So the next day rolls around, we get in our hotel, whatever. Next day comes around, we go to the rink to play, and he looks at me and he goes, my dad doesn't want me to play.
What?
And I'm like, okay. So he goes, like maybe like 10, 15 minutes go roll around, and I look, and he's walking in with his bag now. And I'm like...
Yeah.
All right, like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, my dad wants me to play now. I'm like, dude, I already handed the lineup card in. Like, you're not playing. So I had to play this other kid, right, to put him in his place.
Yeah.
So he was a scratch. I made this kid, like, you know.
He was a scratch.
He was a tag along. He was a scratch. So I put him in the lineup for the other kid. Put him in the game, right, in the lineup. Doesn't touch the ice at all. Turn the game. Right.
Oops. Yeah. Oops.
Doesn't touch the ice. Next day rolls around. Right. I think somebody got hurt or whatever, and I had to put this kid back in the game, like on the lineup card. Put him in again. I don't play him again because he was like a player that we both know that's not very fortunate enough.
He's not helping you out. Yeah.
Somebody put concrete in the poor kid's skates before
trial. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mind you, I didn't take this kid. It was the coach beforehand.
Wait, you were told to take a kid when you didn't want one?
We're gonna bookmark this and go back. Right? All right. Bookmark this part.
Okay.
Right. So I had this kid that I didn't want, right? And I didn't play him. We're driving back from North Carolina, right? Mind you, we're going past my house, right? So I look at the bus driver and I say, "Can you drop me off at my house?" Because they picked me up beforehand. So I was like, "Can you drop me off?" Right? They drop me off. Right? They backtrack.
Backtrack right now, God damn it! You were gonna make us skate at 2 o'clock in the
morning. Yes. Yes. Yep. I was.
You got off the bus.
Yeah.
You dick shit.
All right, that's the real deal there. Thanks.
So, they drop me off at my house. Joe goes back. Mike goes back with the kids, right? The guys. My phone's blowing up left and right. It's got to be what, 2-3 in the morning?
Seriously, 2:30. I've got my phone here on. I'm texting you. I'm like, dude, this shit's
this kid that I didn't play, right? His dad showed up at the rink with a fucking gun looking for me.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just want to talk.
He goes, I just want to talk to him.
I just want to talk with a gun in my hand.
So like, dude, my phone's blowing up at 2:30 in the morning. Like, dude, you're lucky you got off the bus, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So like, dude, the next day, I think we had a day off. It was a Sunday or whatever, Monday. I gave the kids off, and then Tuesday I show up, and I'm like, dude, do I show up at the fucking rink, or am I gonna die? Or am I gonna die?
I wouldn't. Yeah. What the fuck?
So yeah, so fuck. That happened. That legit fucking happened. Like, and I'm like,
over ice time. Over ice time.
Yeah, but going back, right? So the team was formed as it was supposed to have an EHL team and an EHL premier team.
Yeah.
And the EHL, I was going to be the premier head coach, and another guy, Laser Pointer, was going to be the head coach. Yeah. So he takes these guys. He was recruiting guys, and he took this guy to make a roster spot. He was let go as a coach, and I took over for him. And I'm like, I didn't want this guy. So, like, I was given guys that I didn't even pick on the team.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah. But this guy, Tucker will tell you, he was the greatest coach ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy literally was on the ice during training camp, and I shit you not, like, he had a laser pointer. That's how he was conducting his drills. And I'm like,
on the ice?
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and like, Tucker looks at me. These other kids look at me, are like, what the fuck is going on?
For you, Brian, this guy told me every day at training camp that I was too fat to play hockey until the day that he lost his job, and he started calling me, telling me I could play for him on his new team.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, that's always how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. That guy, he was something else, man. He was.
I cannot believe somebody showed up with a gun and said, dude, I just want to talk. No, what are we in the fucking Wild Wild West?
But I'm pretty sure his dad was in the military, so I don't know if he was like fucked up from the war or
PTSD or something. Yeah, or dude, fucking, like, yeah, yeah.
But dude, like, I'm like, who the fuck does that anymore? Like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, man.
Yeah. Shit's wild. Shit's wild,
dude. Yeah. That's unreal.
Yeah.
He was not doing good.
No.
No, something's wrong with that guy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Oh, no. My God.
But, I mean, yeah, we had a solid 84 minutes here. I know you got to get up early in the morning to go to West Virginia. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, WVU, man. Yeah, you know, Sebby's I don't know if you guys are familiar, but check it out if you get a chance. He just looked at a new school, Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Mikey went there.
Dude.
Lynn Harris. Didn't he go there?
Yep.
Yeah.
They are fucking good, bro.
Yeah.
They have a phenomenal hockey program down there for D2 ACHA.
Yeah, I had Tucker's teammate and a kid I coached, he went there.
He just started researching, and you know, he wants to go to college for business and finance. They have a top-notch business school too.
Nice. So, nice.
And it's an hour south of where his grandparents live. Nice. So, you know, yeah, he just brought it up a week ago, and yeah. I'm like, whoa, they're good.
Yeah, so, Mike said they brought a bunch of French Canadians in, and that's why he didn't play.
Oh, well, but you know what? So, of course, you know, Sebi, he looks up every freaking guy's stats on the team. His stats are way better than a lot of the guys on the team. He's like, Dad, really? I think I could definitely make that team.
That'd be sick.
Hey, well, you know, check it out. You never know. Let's see what happens. You got a year left. So, but yeah, I mean, their facilities, everything. Well, they play where the
Everglades?
The Everglades play. The ECHL team. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So, yeah.
But let's be real here. You trust your son down in Florida with all those birds?
Dude.
Come on now.
So, listen. he wants me to take him out to Arizona this summer. Well, towards the end of the summer. He wants to look at ASU.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, and I lived there for 7 years. And I lived near Tempe, and I know that scene. And I'm like, dude, you're failing out.
Oh yeah, dude. I was out there for nationals for inline, dude. Holy fuck.
Dude, let me tell you, it is.
It's a good time out there.
Oh yeah, that's all it is. And their graduation rate is something like 62%. It's ridiculous. yeah, because there's too much fun.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, WVU tomorrow.
Good. Let me know.
And I'll let you know for sure.
Let me know how
Wilkes-Barre goes. And
I will.
KSG on the horizon, brother.
You know it. Other than that, stay dusty, guys.
Yeah, you too. Good talking to you, Tucker. Stay dusty.
Bye.